to the book of John. The book of John. I will go through, we will review last week's last study and Psalm 119 with one last look. And tonight we're going to start a brand new look. But in Psalm 119, verses 169 through 136, basically we need to understand that every time we get a chance to open God's Word, we should look at it. And so in verses 169 and 172, the psalmist is asking for one more time for him to be heard, for his prayer to be heard, that it's received by God, and that it brings the proper response from God. But that means that we have to be proper relationship with God. His petition, he wanted that to be heard, presented by him, and provided for him, basically the safety of God. He wanted to have his praise heard, and he wanted to proclaim the truth and the glory and the grace of God. And then verses 173 through 175, Lord, help me. Help me by your hand. Help me by your... What happened there? Help me by your healing. Help me by your refuge, by your haven. Then in verses 176, Lord, hunt me. We are all like sheep going astray. And so he says, I have gone astray. After all that writing in Psalms, he says in the end, he says, I've gone astray. And folks, we all have the capability of doing that. We all have the capacity of doing that. It's a common problem. It's a common need. We all need Christ and we need his grace. And there's a common cure. So that is the end of Psalm 119. So tonight we're going to start a new study in the book of John. It's my intention to go verse by verse through this book. It might take us a while. Tonight we're going to look at the first 14 verses of John chapter 1. The first 14 verses of John chapter 1, where basically the whole premise is that God, Jesus, is God in the flesh. God is who he says he is. Not what you think he is, not what other people say he is. He is what the Word of God says. He is who he is. So in a way of introduction tonight, the writer of this gospel, there are some people that think that this is not John's writing. But there is enough evidence to say it is truly John, the one who Christ loved, who is writing this. The unique thing about this gospel is that the other three gospels talk about what Jesus did. John talks about why Jesus did. What is the significance of all these things? So there's a spiritual lens on John. It was written behind the other gospels. The other thing about the book of John, it's very simple to read. Single syllables, dual syllables, not a lot of long words. And it should be very easily understood because John wanted everybody to understand. So it is the writer John. I will use his other letter, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was what? Manifested. And we have seen it and bear witness and show you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. That ye may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The whole reason for this gospel is so we understand God. And we understand who Jesus is, and that Jesus is God. He has come in the flesh. He did what he said he's going to do, and his resurrection gives us the ability of a home in heaven. And his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross is what we need. We also see the witness of John. Jesus is God in the flesh. In John chapter 1, verse 14, which we'll get back to, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God in heaven tonight. In John chapter 16, verse 28, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Why did John write it? That answer is found in John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John wrote this from Ephesus. Ephesus was a hotbed of Gnostics. Gnostics basically believed that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, that he just appeared to men. God the Creator was inferior to God. They believed that if God creator was God creator and evil was, that he was Satan. Some of them believed that. That God is just pure essence of love. That they were more concerned in the elimination of ignorance instead of the elimination of sin. Kind of sounds like what Timothy says. Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And so John is writing these things so people can understand. It's about salvation. It's about God in the flesh. It's about Jesus saying, Jesus being who he said he is. The way of Jesus in John. In verses 1, in chapters 1 through 12, he is the light. In chapters 13 through 17, he is love. In chapters 18 through 21, he's life. So this is just scratching the surface in a way of introduction before we get into our study tonight. So in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John," not the same one, John the Baptist. "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see several things in here. John is already emphasizing the fact that Jesus came in the flesh. John is already emphasizing the fact that Jesus is the only way to heaven. John's emphasizing these things right off the bat. Folks, the first words out of our mouth should be the most important. The first words that John writes are these very important things. So tonight, let's look at several things here about what John's writing about. First of all, in verses 1 through 5, Jesus is God.
Amen.
Jesus is God. He is the beginning. In verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, also written by John, Christ appears to him. He says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and is to come, the Almighty." Before creation, there was God.
Right.
Before creation, there was the God's Word. Before creation, there was Jesus. He is God. He is that superior God over all things. Over all things. He is the beginning. It says, verse 2, it says, "The same was in the beginning with God." He has not changed. See, man's changed him.
Right.
But God's not changed. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says, I am the Lord. I change not.
Right.
Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus is God because He is the Word. John said it in his letter. He says, we've handled of the Word of God. He is God the Father. Much to the chagrin of people who say He's not. He is. And if you don't believe it, you're going to find out one day when you stand before Him in judgment.
Amen.
And at the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow to the glory of the Father.
That's right.
Jesus is God. He is the beginning. He has not changed. In verse 3, once again, attacking these Gnostics, all things were what?
Made
by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. He is the Creator. He is the Creator. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And you know what? In heaven they're saying the exact same thing. Because in Revelation chapter 4 verse 11 it says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast what? Created all things. The Lord is Christ.
Yep.
He's the one that can open the book. He's the one that brings judgment. And for Thy pleasure, they are and were created. Jesus is God. He is the beginning. He has not changed. He is the Creator. In verse 4, the first part of it, in Him was life. He is the life. He gives physical life. Psalm chapter 119, verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn Thy commandments. Job chapter 33 verse 4. The Spirit of the God hath made me. And the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. He is the life. He is physical life. No one would be here today except by God's will.
Amen.
And it's wrong to intervene and take away life before it's born.
Amen.
It's murder.
Amen. Come on.
It's murder. He is life. He gives eternal life. And we're going to see that. We're going to see that in this book. It says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is what? In His Son. Jesus is God. And the last part of verse 4 to verse 5, He is the light. He is the source. He is the source. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Remember in Isaiah chapter 9, the people who sat in darkness saw what? Great light. Okay? Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He is the strength of the light. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14. Wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Jesus is God. He's not the babe in the manger. He was there before that. He's the Creator. He created all things. He is the light. But you know something? In verse 5 it says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light became a stumbling block for the Jews. The light became a stumbling block today for all who refuse to see there is a God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool. But we know better than that. Amen. He is the light, and he's the stumbling block. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews what? A stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." Folks, if someone said that Jesus isn't God, you should take them the first five verses of John chapter 1. And you got a pretty good argument right there. And John starts off saying, you need to understand this. Folks, we need to understand for salvation, you need to understand who Jesus is. He's God. God come in the flesh. Secondly, verses 6 through 9, John the Baptist is not Jesus. John the Baptist is not Jesus. In verse 6, he says, we see his mortal being. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, Christ goes on later on in Luke chapter 7, verse 28, says, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." John the Baptist was beheaded. Remember what Herod thought? Herod thought when he heard the miracles of Christ, he said, "It's John the Baptist raised from the dead." No, it's not. Jesus is in the house. Jesus, he is mortal. He died, just like we all die. Hopefully we will not be beheaded. But we see John the Baptist is not Jesus. He is a mortal being. His mission, verses 7 and 8, he says, the same came for a what? Witness. Folks, if you know God, you got to be a witness. You got to be a witness. You have no option. You have no option. He said, for a witness. To what? Bear witness of whom? Not yourself, but God. So if you know God, you got to be a witness. If you know God, that witness is how God is working in your life. And if you can't say that, then God must not be working very well in your life. That why? Why do you need a witness? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The whole purpose of John is to evangelize. And it says that all men through him might what? Believe. Remember the woman at the well? She went to the town. And she says, "Hey, come. See a man told me everything I ever did." And then they came out and they heard Jesus. And they said, "Hey, we hear him ourselves now." But how did they get to the Jesus? She told them. She told them. So, verse 8. And now we see he was not the light. Okay? But was sent to bear witness of that light. His mission. His mission was to fulfill Scripture. Our mission is to fulfill Scripture. You can do it in a positive way, or you can do it in a negative way. But whatever we do, we're going to prove that Scripture is true. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, it says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." His message in verse 9, that was the true life, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What did John say? We talked about it last week. "Behold the Lamb of God that" what? "Taketh away the sins of the" what? "World." Christ didn't come just for one. He would have. He came for all. He came for all. People went out and asked him, "You're a different dude. You're out here in the wilderness. You're wearing sackcloth and ashes. You don't talk like the priests. In fact, you're condemning them. You don't talk like the Pharisees. In fact, you're judging them. You're judging them by the power of God." Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 16 says, "And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the" what? "Christ or not. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh. The latchet whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So we find out that Jesus is God in verses 1 through 5. We find out in verses 6 through 9 that John the Baptist is not Jesus. He's mortal. He has an earthly father who was what? Zacharias. He had an earthly mother. Okay? So he's different than Jesus. His mission was to do what Jesus had written, the word, okay, in his message. In verses 10 through 14, Jesus is the God-man. He's all man, and he's all God. Verse 10 says he was in the world. Once again, for all those that said he didn't come in the flesh, John has said, nope, that's not the case. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Basically, he said he's not God. Nope, he's creator God. Okay? And cometh, and the world knew him not, because y'all choose to. So here we see in verse 10, we see his presence. Paul writes to Timothy. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of what? All acceptation. Folks, what does that really mean? It means we need to receive every word that we hear out of God's word and accept it as truth. Amen. We need to hear the testimony of people who know God and accept it as truth. It's truth. Worthy of what? All acceptation. Everybody who believes in God is not going to be ashamed. He's not going to be proven wrong. He is the light. He is the life. He is truth. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And everybody that knows Christ as your Savior ought to say a good hearty amen. Amen. So he is the God-man. In verse 10, we see his presence. In verse 11, we see the people he came to, or his people. Jesus was of the seed of Abraham. Jesus was of the lineage of David on both sides. But, says here, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Here's what the Jews said about Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 52, to prove this point that they didn't receive him, it says, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. John chapter 9, verse 29 says, we know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we not know from whence he is. John's just writing down what he saw. And you know, it was all prophesied. It was prophesied that was going to happen. Isaiah prophesied. We went through the book of Isaiah. So we see his presence. He was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew him not. We saw his people. He came into his own. And his own received him not. In verse 12, we see his power. But as many as what? Received him. Received what? Received the testimony of Christ. Received the fact that he's God in the flesh. Accept him as creator. Accept him as God. To them gave he what? Power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Now you know there's out there, there's a big crowd of people that didn't believe when Jesus was walking the earth. And I'm sure that Paul was alive during this time. And Paul changed totally. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the what? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Later on he writes, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. Jesus is the God-man. He says, he's told the disciples himself, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go out and be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. John is surrounded by people who don't believe. Just because you're surrounded by people who don't believe doesn't mean that you don't believe it. You got to cry out the more. And I'm sure this is what inspired John by God to write this. Because it answers all the stuff that was going on in the early church to the T. In verse 13, we see his performance. You get saved by God, not by any way other than that. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we what? Must be saved. So let's look at this verse real quick. Okay? Which were born not of blood. Okay? So you don't get born into heaven. You get born in humanity. Okay? You can't think your way to heaven. You can't do enough to get to heaven. It says, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Right. See, the Gnostics in that day thought that once they died, the soul spark would go up and it would all get together and become the great God. That stuff's around today, folks. It's around today. But here's the will of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 and 6, he says, who will have all men to be saved? God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. When you read this gospel, 1 John makes total sense. It makes total sense. Because he says, anyone who says that God's not come in the flesh is the Antichrist. He says, anyone that doesn't understand the love of God doesn't understand God. And if you know God, you know his love, and then you'll share his love. And if you don't do... That's this, folks. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So, Jesus is the God-man. We see his presence. We see the people he came to. We see his power. We see his performance. In verse 14, we see his person. It says, and the Word was made flesh. He took on flesh. We've seen this out of Philippians. And dwelt amongst us. Once again, what did he say to Thomas? Touch me. He ate in front of the disciples after he rose again. He wasn't no spirit. He's flesh and blood. He says, can flesh and blood do this? And we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, as we go through here, Christ is going to say, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Right. So in this introduction, we see all the major themes that we're going to see throughout the entire book. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preaching to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory."
Amen.
Jesus is God. John the Baptist, a great man, but Christ said, "He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him." And John didn't redeem. Christ redeemed. John just said, "You need to believe on him who's coming, right, not on me."
Right.
The Old Testament prophets, "You need to believe on him who's coming, not on me, not on my message." The message has been consistent from the Old Testament all the way through here. Jesus is the God-man. He's the only mediator between us and God. And I'm so glad he came to earth.
Amen.
And I'm so glad he did this. And I'm excited about opening up this book and reading it. We could preach for a long time on this, but we've heard it before. But do you believe it? See, here's the question. Christ did all this for us. John's writing all this so what we can believe. He says it in John chapter 20. He says it in 1 John chapter 5. He wants us to believe on him. He wants us to accept the truth of him. We must accept Jesus Christ for who he is. He's God. He's all man. He's Savior. Do you have a relationship with him? If not, you can't deny it. But realizing what he did, that's recorded in God's word, he went to the cross to die for man's sin. He was buried to pay the penalty for sin. And he took all our sins on him. God put all those on him. One of the things about John is there's a lot more about the crucifixion in here than in the other gospels. There's a lot more about the power of God than in the other gospels. And John goes into great detail about explaining what's happening here. It's in John 11. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And we need to understand that he is God. He was buried, and the third day he arose. And now he sits in heaven offering forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all who would believe. Do you accept him as that? Have you cried out to him for salvation? And Christian, if you believe in him, this gospel is written for us. So we can believe on him. We can believe that he's more than what the world says. Do we believe him? Do we accept him? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts. Just help us, Lord, just to follow you. We give you this time, Lord. We just ask that your Holy Spirit have full reign tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.